Up first in this hour, though, it's time for us to talk a little Black Bear hockey. A big weekend coming up for Maine on the road at number 2 BC. To break it down for us, one of the voices of the Black Bears on the television broadcast, it's Mike Toole right here in studio. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Richard. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Would help if I turned your microphone on.
There, yeah, how's that?
Now, so much better. Hey,
yeah.
You sound good.
Hey, nice
to
get on Mark Farner, by the way.
Yeah, that was fun.
That is awesome.
He was
great. He was a hero of mine back in the day when I was a teenager and
I'm sure
learning guitar and, you know.
You must have played many,
we're an American
many.
Band.
Yeah.
Yeah. All I can say is you must be some kind of wonderful.
Yes, she is.
Anyway, yeah, Maine hockey. We're off to a decent start.
Yeah, not bad at all. Unbeaten on the season so far. Last weekend, it appeared to be. I was on the road, so I didn't see the games, but certainly looking at the score and the shots on goal, it looked like a pretty dominating performance.
Yeah, it was. I think we call that a beat down. Yeah, Maine, you know, they came out right from the get-go. Of course, Saturday night, they scored 17 seconds in and, you know, never really looked back and, you know, just did a lot of things right. And, you know, at one point, I kind of felt bad for Merrimack because it was really unraveling for them, especially Saturday night. It seemed like everything they did backfired and then they started taking penalties and it just went from bad to worse, you know. But Maine, you know, Maine is a dominant team in when they play the game the right way, which is what they've been doing all year long. And when I say play the game the right way, you know, it's 200 feet. It's, you know, staying above pucks in the offensive zone, you know, to protect breakouts, you know, finishing your checks all over the ice, get pucks, get bodies to the net, the high-low game, all these things that they do has been impressive to watch. Now, you know, it is early, and I would caution fans against buying their, you know, Frozen Four tickets just yet. But, you know, the early returns are positive. And what makes Maine so difficult to play against is now you've got production up and
right
down the lineup.
That
balance.
That's what I was going to ask you about, because we knew they'd have a pretty good defense, so we knew what Boya could do. But seeing more and more people getting involved in the offense has to be the most encouraging sign for this team.
Yeah, if you'd said to me, you know, 7 games into the season, Josh Nadeau has 1 goal, Lyndon Breen has 1 goal, what do you think Maine's record would be? And I thought, God, they're probably not doing very well.
Mm.
Not true at all, obviously. That's because they're getting production from Harrison Scott and Thomas Friel. And, you know, what started out the season as their third line is now their top line, okay? And that's the Renwick line with Ross Mitten and Taylor McCarr. And those guys have been immense. Right from the get-go is very impressive the way they came out and really dominated. And so in the early part of the season, one of the big storylines is the reemergence of Nolan Renwick.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like night and day. And then, of course, they add, you know, these guys through the transfer portal, and every single one of them have been impactful.
Right.
Showing up on the score sheet. And so when you've got depth like that, Maine just keeps rolling 4 lines, and everybody's playing the game the same way. Mm. There isn't a huge drop-off in the style of play from the first line to the fourth line. But, you know, there's a lot of production coming out of the Harrison Scott line and the Renwick line. And then, you know, the third line and fourth line, they give you meaningful minutes. They're again, playing the game the right way.
And of course, like any good coach, Ben Barr, not always completely satisfied with things. I think he felt like they should have swept Northeastern and taken care of that a couple of weeks ago. Always looking to play a little better than they have.
Yeah, sure. I think that's natural. I think any good coach is going to be, you know, yeah, we got some things to clean up, and they do. That's okay. But you know, the eyeball test is this team is very, very difficult to play against because you can't key, like last year, you could key on right the Nadeau brothers, and teams did after the first couple months of the season. There was enough tape out there on these two guys, and so everybody knew what the formula was. Mm. Keep Bradley and Josh off the scoreboard, and you probably do okay. This year, you can't key on anybody. It's all everybody's playing,
right,
like I said, playing the game the right way. And coach always talks about playing the game the right way. And so, yeah. And now you've got a room full of believers in there. You know, they came back against North. Well, they won at Northeastern, which is hard to do.
Been a long time since they've done that. Yeah.
2012, I believe. They win convincingly Friday night, and then come back from a 2-goal deficit Saturday and win in the shootout. They left a point on the table, but you know that's okay.
Yeah,
it's really hard to win in this league on the road.
Yeah, well, yeah. And we'll find out this weekend up against number 2 in the country, Boston College. What's the strength of this Eagles team?
Skill, speed. Probably the best goaltender in the country, yeah. Fowler, 1.34 goals against, 943 save percentage. They are fast, skilled. They represent a different type of challenge than Quinnipiac. You could see, I'm glad, you know, I like the way Maine sets up their schedule, because in the early part of the schedule, you play some ranked teams, you get a real chance to set yourself up in the national polls.
Right.
That's what happened last year. They ambushed Boston College at home. They got Quinnipiac. They got a few ranked teams early on, and that set them up where they were well ranked in the top 10 throughout the whole season. So they're kind of doing that again this year. We'll see. Going down to Boston College might be a different story, but I like the matchup against BC better than I like the matchup against BU. BU's bigger, tougher. More physical style. BC is wide open, free flowing. They generate a lot of chances. They also give up a lot of chances. And one of the storylines in the beginning here is the play of Albin Boya.
Yeah.
And so, like Coach said to me the other day, he goes, "Yeah, you know, we're really pleased with Albin, but he hasn't faced a lot of shots. He's got a." You know, good defensive structure in front of them,
right.
and Maine, again, that's part of playing the game the right way. Sorry to keep repeating myself. But you notice the one game where he saw a lot of shots was that second Quinnipiac game. He gave up five.
Five, yeah.
You know, and they, as often happens, the second night, the team that loses Friday night comes back with their hair on fire.
Yep.
On Saturday. And that's exactly what happened. Not unexpected. Maine responded well. I was disappointed that they gave up a 4-1 lead and then, you know, gave up 5 consecutive goals, but found a way to tie it at the end.
Right.
And found a way to win in overtime. I mean, that was just electric and the place went crazy and that was just a lot of fun. So, BC will fire a lot of rubber at Boya. But they'll give up chances, and Maine's job would be to try to obvious. I like making obvious statements, get people shaking their head. Yes, you know, agreement. But you know, you got to try to limit some of those chances. And if Albin can see the first shot, and you can clear out the rebound, then you're going to be okay. It's the second chance opportunities. It's the redirects, you know, that come in that somebody gets a piece of, and that gets you in trouble. So if you can keep him line of sight clear and then clear out rebounds, you're in good shape. And then you have to bury your chances. BC doesn't take a lot of penalties, but Maine's power play is really clicking, 26.5%. So I like the matchup, but you know, it's at BC, of course, and you know, that makes it tougher.
And boy, you don't want to look too far down the road, but I think when it's a team like this, you have to do it. The thought of number 1 Denver coming up to Alphon to play later
I've
in the year.
I've already got my calendar marked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is going to be epic. That is really going to be a lot of fun. Now, we're fortunate that we do all the home games, as you know, on ESPN Plus. But you notice ESPNU is in there now for, I don't know if it's Friday or Saturday. They may bring their own talent, you know.
But they bump you guys?
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
No. Preempted by John Butchigross.
Wow.
Yeah. We haven't heard yet, but we're speculating that they'll probably bring their own people.
Wow.
I hope that isn't the case and they just take our feed. That would be fantastic. It's fun.
Take care of them, a little leg whip out in the parking lot.
Yeah. Slip something in his coffee.
Well, you know, it's great, though. It was the last home football game. We came out of the stadium at whatever it was, 4:15, and the line for the hockey game was already stretching halfway over to the field house. And I thought, man, it's like the old days.
Yes. Again. What year is this? It's like 1995 all over again. It's so great. The place is full. The fans are electric. The students are into it. And it's hard not to get caught up in, all the, let's call it hype and excitement. It's excitement, right? You know, bordering on hype. And now everybody's fully on board. I get texts and messages throughout the game from people all over the country, of course, some are critical and some are, just talking about the game, and some are, oh, your mic's too loud or your mic's too low. Yeah. Hey, come on.
Do you respond to people? Because people do that to me. I'll get text during the game. I'm thinking, I'm kind of busy right now. I don't know.
My response is, I'm talent. I'm not engineering.
Right, right.
Let me give you the producer's number and you can, take it up with him. But
How great was it to, speaking of the atmosphere, the environment up there, how great was it early in the season to have that reunion of the 99 championship team?
Yeah. I mean, you have to pay homage to, the heritage of the program, I think. And a lot of people, I mean, it was a while ago, 25 years ago. And, it's great to, I believe, as a program, remember and honor the people that got you here, and they laid the foundation for what you see today. That that whole period of the 90s. Now we know we went through a bit of a dry spell, but we're back, baby.
Yeah. Well, and even before that, and you've been around.
Yes, since, I have.
I mean,
almost as long as you.
Like me, yeah. Since the beginning, I mean, you were there in the Jack Semler days.
Oh, thank you for reminding me about that. Yes, there's a few pictures on the wall of Alfond Arena where I'm in the team photo. Yes, there is. Yeah. I remember those days of Jack Semler and Gary Thorne and how the whole program started, and Gary Kahn and
Billy
Dan
Demenick and Andre Obu.
Oh, Andre Obu, yeah, God rest his soul. And So to think back to what it was like then and now look around now, it's a quantum leap. And we're only we're only partway through all the renovations that are taking place. A lot of the renovations are not going to be visible during game day because they are, the facade and the meeting rooms and locker rooms and so forth. But it's turning into world class. And I'm so glad that they're able to, and it's not easy. It's probably more expensive to renovate what's there than to just build new. But again, it's like Fenway.
Right. You got one of the great venues in college sports.
Historic.
Yeah.
Which is why I think they'll send their own talent from ESPNU, because I think those guys understand that Alfond Arena is a special place in college hockey. Everybody knows that, and I think they probably want to experience. But if something happens on the way and they don't make it all the way up here,
what could happen? Things go wrong, flat tires, you don't know.
Yeah.
You'd be ready for all that. Well, let me ask you this, Mike.
Yeah.
Is there, from the coach's perspective here, is there one thing that, hard to come up with much, I'm sure it's 6-0-1, but anywhere where the team can improve going forward?
Well, sure, there's always room for improvement, and I'm going to feel a lot better about the team if you can get Breen and Josh Nadeau on the score sheet more consistently. They had a couple of goals. Each of them had a goal over the weekend. So, that's one area that I think strikes me as, that would make me feel better. But they're getting meaningful minutes out of every line right now. The way they're playing is sustainable. And that doesn't mean they're going to, go down to Boston College and sweep them. They could play really well and still lose. And that may happen in one of those games. But they've done incredible work at limiting mistakes. They still have a few periods where, they sort of take their foot off the gas, and you know that's just part of it. But it's so early, and they've only played a handful of games against really high quality opponents, right. The Quinnipiac series and Northeastern. Until I see him against BC, which by the way, John Shields has talked me into going down with him on Sunday.
Very nice.
Yeah. So tune your radio dial.
Excellent. That's right. It's Friday, Sunday this week.
Sunday. And he's got to come back for football after Friday. And he said, any chance you'd drive down with me on Sunday? And I'm like, because he does it alone, which is a lot of airtime to fill for one guy. And I've done a few radio broadcasts with him, and it's really fun. I get now what, the allure of radio.
Well, yeah.
You can dress like a slob and nobody knows.
Right, exactly. Look at me in here.
You got mustard on your tie, and you don't even wear a tie. What am I talking about? I
barely wear pants. Man, oh man. Mike Toole with us here on Downtown Talking Black Bear Hockey. Mike, always great to see you.
Great to see you, Rich. Thanks for having
have
me.
Have fun this weekend.
And, yeah, we will. And we're really going to know what we got after this weekend. And then of course, you're right out of the frying pan into the fire the following week against BU at home. That'll be great.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Maine hockey. Mike Toole, broadcaster, man about town, historian of hockey, joining us. Our Black Bear Reports, coincidentally brought to you by Clearpoint Capital.
Oh, how about that?
Call Mike 307-7718. Tomorrow, that other guy, John Shields, will join us from Boston to talk about the games. Also tomorrow, Black Bear football, as Bob Lucy has the game plan for Maine and Bryant on Saturday afternoon. Right now, your weather, that is brought to you by Black's Heat Pumps, the folks to call for installation, maintenance, and repair of mini split heat pumps. Online at blacksheatpumps.com or call 631-0558. Black's Heat Pumps, sales and service from people you can trust. What have we got coming up for tonight? Partly cloudy skies later on. Clear skies till about midnight or so and an overnight low of 38. Another pretty nice day tomorrow. Partly cloudy, some sunshine in the morning, a few more clouds in the afternoon, but highs in the mid-50s. I am loving this for November. This is fine.
This is going to delay the opening of the Toole Ice Rink in my yard several weeks, but yeah, let's enjoy it while we can. Yes.
Friday night, just a few clouds, about 35 degrees. Saturday, we can expect lots of sunshine after a few morning clouds. Temperatures in the afternoon, mid-40s, but very windy. West-northwest, 15 to 25 with higher gusts. Hopefully that running game going well for the Black Bears on Saturday. Sunday, more sunshine with a high temperature somewhere in the low to mid-50s. Monday, expect cloudy skies, chance of a shower, but a high of about 58. Right now, downtown and here on Broadway in Bangor, partly cloudy. We're at 45 degrees here at Z62 Retro Radio.
I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love.
Hi, this is Peter Asher from Peter and Gordon originally, if you've got a very long memory, and you're listening to Downtown with Rich Kimball.
What makes a community thrive? The people